Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Dekar, of course, the king of the Wolf of Dog Street. I almost screwed up my own name, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
You know, Tom, I was a weary traveler, but I'm finally back in beautiful New York City, and it feels good to be back. We had some nice times on the road, but...
Yeah, we did. We did have some nice times on the road. We were in Boise, Idaho for the Tree Fort Fest, where you can hear the live battle of the bands we did there. We changed the format a bit. It was so twisted. You'll never be able to unravel it.
No, they'll unravel it. Don't say it like that.
No, you'll never be able to quite figure it out. But hey, pay the $3 a month to get on the Patreon to see if you can, prove me wrong, listeners.
Like, this thing is so convoluted that you will not get it.
This thing is so fucking twisted. No, it was really fun, though. Great squad of people on that thing. And, yeah, we're back. We saw Japanese Breakfast.
Yeah.
Adam, a former, guest of the show from Landlady, was a killer on it. I was just messaging him that it was all I talked about all weekend was how fucking good that Japanese Breakfast show was.
Great
it was
show.
Insane. Saw Mannequin Pussy, was supposed to see Built to Spill a second time. I ate an edible and had to go immediately to bed. I could not do one more second of that fest, but it was a good time. And we have a great guest today. I think we should bring him right in. We haven't had him in a while, and I'm so excited to see his New Zealand face. Guy Montgomery is here.
Oh, my boys, my beautiful boys. I'm so good, and I'm so excited to be reunited with you both, to see you both socially, but also professionally.
And I like that you brought your briefcase. I think that's a good move.
Well, I wanted to be able to delineate very clearly between when I'm just catching up with my guys and when I'm here to talk turkey. And turkey, of course, represents music in that sentence. Yeah, no, I far out, Brussels sprout. I miss you guys, and I'm so glad to hear that you've been having a nice time in my absence.
Yeah, we try. Every day is a struggle in your absence, but we're trying to make it work.
Wow,
we are a husk of what we once were. When you
I know, yeah.
Very
this is the downside of befriending me, as I leave a wake of sort of destruction and it's desire kind of fucked for up. Camaraderie. As I cut people out of my life.
Guys.
Yeah, I know. I'm so sorry. And I understand, because were you traveling for leisure or for business, or was it a mix of the two? Was it not unlike this podcast?
It was a mix of the two. It started off as business, and then it turned into pleasure, which is the way Tommy likes to do his business, which I say he needs to knock off. Not a good look in this day and age. but yeah, it was a festival that we were booked to do comedy on, but it was primarily a music festival, and it turns out we're just the type of sick fucks to enjoy that type of shit.
That's right in your guys' wheelhouse. And you for a long while from New Zealand, it appeared that you guys weren't able to perform comedy in America. And
that's true.
Now there's a situation where the boot is on the other foot.
Oh, no.
I know.
I was going to ask about this. Are you guys done? Are you guys locked down right now?
I'm in Auckland, which is the biggest city in New Zealand. And we are locked down because we are the greatest city in New Zealand. Because it's where the most people want to live. So I'm in my 44th day of a very, very strict lockdown.
Damn.
And yeah, I know. Yeah, I always thought, you know, it would be nice to see how it feels when the boot is on the other foot. But the foot the boot was on feels like there's this phantom boot and I'm getting my ass kicked. I hate this. I'm
happy. You don't like it?
No, yeah, I don't like it.
Here's a question, Guy. A lot of people say you've been making your Bo Burnham inside the last 45 days.
Yes. But I've been making mine just inside my frickin' beautiful mind. I wouldn't, you know, deign to try and communicate the thoughts I'm having to the outside world from my guest house. No, I'm instead, I'm sat cross-legged in my beautiful stepdaughter's room, podcasting in private. This is my inside. This episode of Stand By Your Band is my Bo Burnham's inside.
I still think this is better than what Tommy did, which was his anti-shutdown, his anti-lockdown special outside, which was where during the heat of COVID, he was just doing comedy in people's faces at the grocery store.
It was Tommy maskless being kicked out of establishments while performing his best material.
Yeah, and I weirdly targeted the elderly when I would kind of go out there, which made it so much worse than it had to be.
In terms of targeting the medically infirmary, I sort of understand the logic, but your jokes aren't written for those people. It's no wonder it looked like you were bombing. They can't relate to the trivial complaints we have about our modern lives.
Well, come on, you're on Snapchat, right, old man?
It's so nice to see you both. And now I understand we're spanning three time zones.
That's right. We're in this is truly a phenomenon of modern technology that I am, of course, in Los Angeles, California for another day. Tommy is in the beautiful city of New York, and you are, of course, in Auckland, New Zealand, which
That's
is
right.
Really impressive what we're able to accomplish here.
I had such a hard time figuring it out. I had to pause the TV show I was watching and really focus on the computer just to try and figure out these three times.
Yeah, it sounded like you really challenged yourself when you had to pause the TV show you were watching.
He was watching Teletubbies with his girlfriend,
oh
who's her
God.
Favorite show.
Not now, Nunu. But I do. Do you guys feel like you're mentally in different states throughout the day?
Ooh, that's a good question. That makes it even harder to line these things up because we're on different time zones within those different mental states as
well.
Right. Yeah, I do think I'm in different mental states. For example, earlier I was, high as a kite on coffee. Now I'm low as a Joe on this fruity beer.
Ah, well, that sounds like you're living the oscillating highs and lows of a man about town. This is the first thing I've done today. I got out of bed. I made myself an egg. I tidied the kitchen, and then it was podcast o'clock. But for a man what hour have you got over there, Tommy, in NYC?
It's just after 5 p.m., which is weird that Tom's the one drinking and I'm not.
I was wondering if that would come to light. It's my day off. It's Wednesday.
But no, yeah, my day, I have done a bunch of stuff and I've, but now I feel good. I feel relieved. I kind of reached a state of enlightenment during the pandemic. I've gotten, very zen now. So every time of day is the same for me.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
It's not true. But.
I know. But it's a convincing lie. I remember when I was a boy or even an early teen, and you're going to sleep, and it's before you've touched any alcohol or drugs or anything, but just experience the way that your mind processes things. And I remember, staying up late and how different I felt from the person I was when I woke up. That sort of experience has always stayed with me. Do you guys remember having a similar experience at all?
Yeah, well, night was when I would listen to my Dark Passenger.
Tommy did, in fact. He references this a lot, and I'm really not quite sure what he's talking about, but he alludes to this Dark Passenger that was always often with him. And I was like, were you like a racist cab driver? And he's like, no, it's not like that.
Oh, my God. So, I'm like, I'm not racist. I'm a serial killer, idiot.
I'm a very woke and progressive serial killer.
That should be what the new Dexter's about.
Yes. He's super, he's just killing people who should be canceled.
That's kind of the original Dexter.
I guess that's true, but it's like, I guess you don't think of like evil like murderers. It's like, uh-oh, I guess yeah. you're getting canceled now. You can't even murder anybody anymore.
Yeah. Can't murder anyone these days. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'm glad to be here. It's nice as both for podcasting reasons, but just as a general reunion.
Yes. Well, I meant to, this reminds me of a question I have for you. What's cancel culture like in New Zealand, guy? Is it ruining society for you guys like it is us?
Yeah, man. You can't say anything these days. And you know, funny's funny. I think it's sort of, in my experience of being in different places, I think cancel culture doesn't necessarily fall along geographic lines so much as ideological lines or whichever echo chamber you spend time in online. So like in New Zealand, in the parts of, you know, society that I inhabit, cancel culture or like at least call out culture or accountability exists. But if I was to pivot to sort of the middle of New Zealand, no one gives a fuck about any of that. No one's talking
Austin,
about
Texas.
It. Yeah, no one's thinking about it. Like, I'd say it's probably the same in New York, or yeah, where it's like it exists, and if you go to the right places online, you know, you can read a lot. Or no, it doesn't exist, but like, you know, that conversation is taking place. But then in broader society, people just don't have time to care or think about this stuff. Mm-hmm. They're trying to earn enough money to have dinner.
Now, you'd think that would be true here, where people who have much more important things to think about would not be arguing online about who and who shouldn't be canceled, and you would be sadly very incorrect based on my timeline.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I like it is, it's certainly, this is sort of, this is not even addressing the main thrust of the question now. This is just probably, you know, getting down to the depths of gossip, but like one of the most toxic and enjoyable sidebars of doing comedy is like, you know, gaining entry to these secret little private Facebook pages mm-hmm. where everyone's cussing each other out. And it's like, I remember I started doing stand up in Toronto in like 2012, I think. And I joined like, you know, the Toronto stand up club community or whatever it was. And then like until recently, I've only just fucking managed to get myself off the smack that is watching a bunch of open mic comedians in Toronto, I don't know, fucking attack each other.
That is such a drug where I found myself in the pages of scenes that I have never lived in, that I don't know any of the people involved. I'm just like, oh shit, this person's saying they're banned from this open mic, and then here's why, and then... Oh, it's so good. There was this whole thing in Denver like 3 years ago.
Yes.
I didn't know one single person involved. I spent hours of several days reading about the drama scene if there was any updates. I was like, I don't know any of these people and don't give a fuck.
It's absolute madness. But yeah, no. So we're everything, you know, it's all, everything's okay. New Zealand's all right. I'm just, I'm at that point of lockdown where I'm sort of, I'm taking it day by day. There's no long view. I'm losing my mind. I welcome the respite of catching up with my friends.
This is great. During the full lockdown, I shouldn't say during COVID because it is fully still COVID. But during the middle of the year of being fully inside, I was we were like playing games on, like I played NBA 2K with 12-minute quarters. Like I was just fully lost to the world. I might as well have been dead. It was just not a life.
Was there not some teenage part of you that was like, God, I've always wished I had the time to play NBA 2K with full quarters? Like
there was that. And it's funny that as a child I was like, I'm too busy. I'm 12-minute quarters. But now I finally have time to do it. And it was, and now that habit is kind of stuck where I play like 2K online all the time. And then my fiance, who has a real life and job, has to hear me in the middle of the night screaming, "Are you fucking kidding me?" but that's neither here nor there. So we haven't had you on since we've changed the format a bit here, Guy. We've started doing something new. Not every episode, but we like to include bands. So normally when you come on before, we talked about Halloween last time you were on with Halloween music, but normally on this show we talk about bands that people make fun of. They get roasted nonstop. They're getting shit on both sides. They can't catch a break. And we have comedians come on to defend those bands that were so unfairly made fun of. But we've added a new element of the show where now we do bands like Jawbreaker or who else have we done?
Hold Steady, Kraftwerk.
You think sort of deserve overlooked, perhaps?
Yes, exactly. Overlooked, underrated, bands that maybe people don't know about, but we want to give them credit for being great. We don't rate the playlist or anything like that.
Yeah.
And we felt that it would only be right if you, now that we're having you back, if you had an opportunity to defend a band that
absolutely
fits that category.
It's a genre of, not genre, but like, I think so many seminal bands are overlooked. You know, it's sort of like bands who are responsible for taking a sound in a certain direction, but aren't the one who broke that sound. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of bands that I've listened to in my life that I've remained a steadfast fan of that never quite got the glow that they might deserve.
Well, that famous saying about the Velvet Underground, you know, only 10,000 people bought the first record, but every one of those people started a band. It's like
that's
that.
Right. It is. That's a beautiful. Who said that? Was that you?
Yes.
Yeah. Holy shit. That's got to be like your most famous saying.
It's up there, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. But there's a I think this is a great not pivot, but I think this is a great inclusion in the your podcasting oeuvre. And there's a band I like, a New Zealand band who I think changed the sound of music for sort of rockers. Probably too broad a term, but I can't get down into the nitty gritty of it. They're a band that was founded by the founding member. Actually, he's my high school alumni. We went to the same high school.
Oh wow!
And he formed a band called the Feelers.
All right, let's hear "Fishing for Lisa."
I'm glad that you kept it running until the violins came in, because it shits me when people don't stick around till the strings come in.
That would have, I think everybody would have been too pissed for me to cut it short.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
Thank you.
It's so evocative is what I like about it. You know,
it is, isn't it? It's a contemplative song. And even if you didn't hear it while you were a teen, I think, you know, not unlike when we were talking before about staying up late, you know, and you're thinking about your life, or you're 14 or 15, you might like someone, but you know, you don't have the courage to communicate that to them. It's a music.
You're 14, 15. You like this podcaster who, he's a little old for you. He has Stand By Your Band, but you still think you have a shot with him. And so
that's right. But it can transport you to that place, and that's what great music can do. Is it can, you know, like they say, time travel is not possible, but music's the closest damn thing we've got.
Absolutely, that took me right back to a time when I was a young boy. In fact, I was like, am I from New Zealand? I like it transported
yeah.
me. I was like feeling like exactly what you're talking about. Tommy, what did it evoke for you?
Yeah, just like the lyrically, it's like so impressive because right off the bat, you hear this phrase, fishing for Lisa, and usually you're kind of fishing for an animal.
Fish. Yeah.
Yeah, namely fish. But it's a human
where,
being.
You know, that's where the saying comes from. That's why they call it fishing.
Oh, okay. I never really
from
figured
fishing
that out.
For Lisa.
Yeah.
But,
and, yeah, and... ugh.
Keep going,
you just
Tom.
Start to picture this woman, Lisa. You know, what does she look like? What, you know, and by the end of the song, you want to fish for her yourself. You know, it's just like it makes you feel that way.
Why? Wow, yeah. If not the same Lisa, I mean, everyone has their own Lisa.
Mm-hmm. Mine is Lisa Simpson.
Yeah, Homer had one.
I was either for me it's and I keep bouncing back and forth. It's kind of both of them. Lisa Kudrow as well.
Smelly
those
cat.
Are my two the two Lisas in my life. I would say
the great Lisa Kudrow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I actually don't think I have any. I don't think I personally know any Lisas. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Do I know any? This is going to be crazy if I do, and I'm drawing a blank if I know any in my real life, but. You know, I've certainly spent more hours with Lisa Kudrow and Lisa Simpson, who I've welcomed in my home through the power of my television, than any Lisa in real life. I guess I do know some Lisas that I used to work with. And they were good Lisas, but, I mean, it's hard to compete with Phoebe from Friends and Homer's daughter.
Well, so one thing I think is really interesting is we were talking about like how these underappreciated bands are actually really influential to other musicians. And something that I noticed is that this album came out October of 2001.
Yeah.
And just a year, a little shy of a year later, we get Coldplay's album, A Rush of Blood to the Head. I don't think we get that album if there's no Fishing for Lisa. You know what I mean?
That's right. And it's, you know, that is a great point you bring up. A lot of people don't know this, but October 2001, this entire album was written as a response to 9/11.
Yeah. That's incredible. Wow. And that adds a whole new layer to kind of my read of it.
The album's called Communicate, as in, when are we going to stop yelling at each other and start communicating with each other?
Start yelling with each other. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm trying to communicate how I feel. It's a beautiful thing. And also you'll notice, like, if I don't know if you've seen the liner notes of the track listing, but some of the tracks are capitalized and others are all written in lowercase. And you know, that sort of changed the way we text each other. You know, people.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. I found something groundbreaking here. So Tommy pointed out that the Coldplay album came out in 2002. You're not going to believe this. Guess what album comes out June 4th, 2002?
What's that?
The Eminem Show. And I don't think we get that.
Wow.
No chance.
And what are the odds?
It's pretty easy to lines up too well. It's pretty easy to draw a straight line between Communicate and the Eminem Show.
Mm-hmm. How do you communicate? You telecommunicate through a show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Communicating yourself.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Would you guys like to hear another track?
I would love to hear another track. What should we listen to next?
Well, it's interesting. I'm tempted to keep it on the sort of the downbeat, that more contemplative feelers, but they're also responsible for some of the biggest stadium filling rock anthems in the history of not just New Zealand music, but I would say rock and roll internationally. And no song hits harder or gets people charging faster than the iconic Pressure Man.
Ooh.
I'm excited. Right.
Let's hear some of Pressure Man. Here it is.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ooh, listen to that.
What is this, music by aliens?
So I hadn't had the chance to listen to these songs before. I didn't have any time to research this week. But that song, I mean, it's the future, you know? I mean, it's from a long time ago, but you feel like you're in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, they truly predicted the future. It's 1997, I think.
98.
98.
Oh, 98. Oh, yeah. Then never mind.
But, it's still, that is a long time ago for a song to still sound so current.
Yeah. This is what I'm listen to this lyric. It sucks your sorry ass.
Yeah.
They predicted ass eating.
Well, they were ahead of the curve in many ways. You know, if not just for their music, they were as famous for their hedonistic party lifestyle. the music's obviously speaks for itself, but the lyrics, I think, so often people when they listen to songs, they hear, like, they pluck out words, but they don't string the entire, you know, lyric together. And James Reid pours his heart and soul into this stuff. Mm-hmm. The line, which is the sort of chorus refrain, "Are you pressure man or prey?" Mm-hmm. I think if James Reid doesn't write and perform that line, then Brandon Cooks doesn't think to ask the seminal question, "Are we human or are we dancer?"
Are we dancer? Yeah. No, not happening. Did you say Brandon Cooks by the...
I did, yeah. I meant Flowers, but I
Brandon Cooks is a wide receiver.
He's tearing it up for the Houston Texans.
The Houston Texans, yeah. Having a surprisingly good year, by the way. I have one of my fantasy teams.
I know.
That's why you probably mixed him up.
I lost to him in fantasy this week. He's obviously top of mind still. And it's as interesting, isn't it, that we can have these deep and ruminative conversations about music while also being frustrated that we lost to a guy in London.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of the duality of man. And I think, I think, I mean, talk about the music influence. I think that this song kind of is the Matrix before the Matrix, you know? It's just got that vibe. It sounds like it would have fit in so well on the soundtrack. But this is, you know, a year before that. So you have to think the Wachowskis heard this song and just got out a notebook and started writing, you know?
Kind of fucked up they didn't use it for the soundtrack, too.
It's tough. It's one of the hard things about creating art is, you know, you don't know what people are gonna, once you finish the thing, you don't know what people are going to do with it. That's no longer your, you know, that's for everyone. And what people do, they could chop it up, you know, remix it, or they could take it to create an entire cinematic universe that sort of changed sci-fi cinema
Like,
I mean, it leads us to the question, I mean, guy, red pill or blue pill?
I take both, baby.
You dirty dog.
You freak.
Yeah. I take a green pill?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, the Matrix is all green. Why are the pills blue and red?
Yeah, what the hell? And this green pill, which is a vitamin, you should just take it just in case.
Which is fish oil.
Fish for Lisa oil. It's funny that they were on a soundtrack. This is a little trivia question for you here, Guy. And hell, I'll include Tommy in here too, and the listener, and anybody who wants to participate. What song, the song we just heard, in fact, was featured in what 1999 American film? And it is an instrumental version. And we...
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
I might need one more hint for this.
Okay.
But I have a guess before a hint.
Okay.
That guess is...
Do you want to give the guess before the hint?
Yes, I'll give the guess first. Is that David Fincher's Fight Club?
You would be horribly incorrect.
Well, maybe in actuality, but in terms of vibe, I think it's a pretty good match.
Right? And it's the same year.
I'll say David Fincher was horribly incorrect to have not used it, but also makes the answer terribly wrong.
Yeah. Gone Girl, Pressure Man, come on.
It's a simple question, and the answer is obviously Paul Thomas Anderson's Magnolia.
That is also just disgustingly incorrect.
Amy Mann, Pressure Man, it's all the same.
All right, I'll give you guys your precious hint. The song appears during Kirsten Dunst's tap dancing act.
Kirsten Dunst.
1999, Kirsten Dunst.
I used to get Kirsten Dunst and Julia Stiles confused.
Well, that would be a horrific mistake to make.
Yeah. Because
one of the biggest faux pas you could ever make at a big Hollywood party.
Julia Stiles, so nice to... Oh, no. I've done it again. I turn around and Jesse Plemons is just pointing a sawn-off shotgun at me.
All right, let me give you some other people who were in this film and see if that helps. We've got Ellen Barkin. We've got Brittany Murphy.
It's not Virgin Suicides, is it?
No. We've got Allison Janney.
Good cast.
Denise Richards.
It's a lot of
Did you say who's Allison Janney?
No, I said good cast.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Very different phrases.
That's so different from what
yeah,
I
yeah.
See, this just goes to show that
although I do
the
get,
Felix
I get,
tried to say.
I get Allison Janney and Denise Richards muddled up. So I find it very confusing when they're in the same movie.
Oh, this one might be the biggest hint. Kirstie Alley and Amy Adams.
So this is an all-female cast?
I don't know if that's.
I mean, all the stars
case,
are.
But all the stars are, yes.
Yeah, all the stars
I'm
are.
Out.
I'm out.
It's about
too.
A beauty pageant. Does that help at all?
I don't know it.
I don't think I've seen this movie. Right.
It's Drop Dead Gorgeous.
I never saw it.
Fuck.
I haven't seen it either. But, you know, great soundtrack. I've always maintained that.
People at home are losing their minds. Or they also didn't know. Only time will tell. We have a sec. Oh, no, go ahead, Tom.
Well, really quick, I searched on Google, what is a pressure man? And
yeah.
The first thing that comes up is the song Pressure Man by the Feelers, which means, first of all, they literally coined and like defined this phrase that we all use kind of in our lexicon. Mm-hmm. And the second thing that came up was a Daily Beast article that says the pressure men face to act like men is literally toxic. What do you think about that guy?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, I hope that James Reed and the Feelers got a shout out in the byline of that Daily Beast article, because the truly toxic behavior would be plagiarizing lyrics and reappropriating them into think pieces without giving appropriate credit. But, you know, in saying that, I also couldn't agree more with the Daily Beast, as I always do. It's my homepage. It's the only app I have on my phone. And it's pretty much the wind that dictates the direction my opinions take on any given day or before appearing on any given podcast.
And
it
I love
is tough out there for men. And you are a guy rights activist, right, Guy?
I'm always looking out for my guys. We get pilloried for our ludicrous name, you know. And I won't stand for it. And I am trying to start a union for just for guys.
Oh, man. Did you see Free Guy? Did you see Free Guy?
No, they're still trying to charge me for it. And I said, what are you freaking talking about? This is for me. So botched the rollout on that movie, eh? If your name is Guy, you shouldn't have to pay. I think it's just come out on, what's it on? It's on Disney Plus or something here.
Ooh. I almost saw it last night in theaters.
I watched The Kid Detective last night at home.
How's that?
Ooh.
I liked it. It was a genre melding film. It started off so light and sort of silly, and then it gets quite dark.
It reminds me of a certain band.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's a lot like what we're listening to. I like my genres kept apart.
Yeah. It's like, when you know, it's like keeping the different food groups off. When you're a boy, mm-hmm. you used to not like your food to touch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was such a fussy boy.
Speaking of fussy boys, this brings us right into our next segment. We have a voicemail from Jared Thompson, friend and foe of the show. He's a, you know.
He always badmouths me when I'm on the show. Well, not me, but my taste.
No, I think it's you. I'm very curious what he's going to have to say about the Feelers. Of course, this is an appreciation of the Feelers we're doing today. And Jared is usually a tough critic, but I think he's going to... I wonder what he'll say. All right. Oh, by the way, Jared, if you don't know, if this is your first time listening, if you're just a hardcore Feelers fan and discovering the show for the first time today... Jared is the owner of the beautiful Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana, where Tommy and I will be November 5th and 6th. We're going to be doing stand-up and also a live Stand By Your Band, I think, on the Friday night. I think it's going to be a double ticket where if you pay for one, you can get into the other. And I think you should come to both because we got a new format that's so fucking twisted that you're going to need to be live to unravel it.
From the demented minds of the two Toms.
All right, here's what Jared has to say about the Feelers.
What's up, y'all? It's this week's They Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending the Feelers. Tom knows that I've always been on record that the Feelers are like one of the best bands ever, and certainly they would make a list of the most underrated bands or artists ever. I don't think it's too crazy to think that eventually, once the Gen Pop kind of hears about them more and more, that they'll sort of slide over in from, you know, one of the most underrated bands ever to just simply one of the best bands ever. And I think, for me personally, I think that one of the reasons that the Feelies became like a known band was they had a song in the Academy Award winning, I think it swept that year, The Squid and the Whale, Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, first time since Silence of the Lambs, I think, that it won Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actor and Actress, and Screenplay. And it was this song called Let's Go that really put him on the map. I mean, it's just so hard. Jangly. Yeah, so anyway, the Feelers. Listen to them now. Thank you.
All right, that was Jared with a shocking turn of... I was... You know, he's usually like our resident snob. It turns out he loves the Feelers, and that's the first time he's ever played a song on the voicemail. So
I feel like he got his wires crossed a little there. That I believe was by the sort of like 80s or 70s, 80s band, the Feelies.
Yeah, I think he might have been confusing the Feelers for the Feelies.
I mean, it's all the more reason for us to do this episode to kind of enlighten people.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is space for both bands, and
it is interesting that he said Feelies and Feelers in the same
It is, because he sort of top and tailed his talk break with the Feelers, but then in the middle he started talking about the Feelies. Although, you know, much in the same way that we decry the Daily Beast or, you know, the Wachowskis for aping elements of the Feelers lyrics and genius and then creating their own products, we'd be doing a disservice to the Feelies if we didn't acknowledge that their band name paved the way for bands like the Feelers to confidently come out and, you know. And, like, it all comes full circle. Again, you think about that Daily Beast article, one of the most toxic elements of being a man is being a man. The Feelers were one of the first man bands that talked about having feelings. You know, before that, in music, men were totally closed off. Yep. Men wouldn't talk about fishing for Lisa. They might sing about fishing with their boys. Yes. Sure.
Fishing with Larry, yeah. You can hear that all the time.
Fishing for fish with Larry. Nothing more.
Oh, man. I just remembered I once saw a guy wearing a shirt at the airport, and the shirt said, I don't need to go to therapy. I just need to go fishing. Such a funny shirt.
It is. Well, it's for a lot of people, it's actually like therapy, so it makes a lot of sense. A friend has bought me a hat I haven't actually received it yet. It's being sent from abroad that says, "Woman want me, fish fear me."
Yes,
and I think that's another fun one, isn't it? It very clearly puts a stake in the ground for the sort of person you are, which is a heterosexual guy who loves to fish.
Yeah. Or at least someone who's attractive to the opposite sex. Maybe you're like, women want me. I don't want them.
Yeah. That's right.
I want fellas myself. And fish fear me, and I just want them to be my friends. Maybe it's a shirt like that's tragic. He's like, I just love fish, and they fear me. And then I think into fish.
It's a replenishable format, really, isn't it? It's sort of like pronoun feeling me, fish fear me. So all fish fear me. And different people have different feelings about me otherwise.
Now, that would be a good shirt because it kind of leaves, you know. Because life is messy. It's not black and white. Yes. Not every woman's going to love you, you know. Every fish will fear you, but that is
rightly
true.
And rightly so.
People have a variety of different feelings about me based on their experiences with me. Fish fear me.
Fish unilaterally.
All right, we got some more music to get to here. What would you like to hear next, Guy? What do you think is gonna?
Well, I feel like we've shown two different sides of the sort of the like, I don't know, the pentagon that is the multifaceted feelers. We've had Fishing for Lisa, which is the more sort of acoustic contemplative sound, and then we had the hard barnstorming rock of Pressure Man, and I think that, you know, there's a genre between these two poles that exists that they again blazed a trail for, and it's sort of to describe it as feel good sounds trite, but they have music that it's the sort of stuff that if you've got a high quality pair of headphones, you put them in your ears and you step off the plane and you're walking down the streets of New York City and you think, hold on a second, is my life a movie? And this is just one of those songs for me, and it's called As Good As It Gets.
All right, let's hear As Good As It Gets.
He's not lying.
No.
Especially when you've been inside a room for 44 days, you just have to think, this is as good as it gets.
This is real, I think, is probably the most harrowing part of that experience. it's like you get into this zone when you're in a lockdown where you're like, well, it's all right, because these ones don't count. But they count the same.
Well, this is the kind of like upbeat song you could picture in like a montage of essential workers like smiling and helping people. You just hear this in the background.
Do it for them. I'm
people
doing
like
it for her.
Thumbs upping while like having the vaccine put in them, whatever.
Absolutely. It starts off a little cautious, or it's sort of saying, hey, you know, not everything in life comes easy, and you know, you should have seen from the start there'd be more heartache and pain. And it's only once we navigate the challenges of life and we confront, you know, the full spectrum of emotion that's contained within every person that we can, like, you know, you let your guard down and you let your feelings out, you let other people's feelings in, and then that's when you sort of, you know, that's when you reach that point wherein you can experience pure ecstasy. That this is as good as it gets. And when I say ecstasy, I'm not talking about the 90s party drug. I'm talking about a feeling of sort of just pure joy at experiencing the world and letting the world experience you.
Yeah, 90s party drug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only in the
90s. I know. Well, it got reframed, didn't it? It started getting called Molly. to bloody turn the cops off people's tails.
That's what I'm fishing for these days.
Now let's break down this lyric, because I don't know if we just got to this or not. I think I might have stopped it short of this line. I'm staying for a party.
We didn't get to this, and this is a great lyric.
Let me play, because I think it was coming right after. So let's just play.
It's also
it.
It's the way. Yeah.
Okay, so the line there is, if you guys didn't hear it, I'm staying for a party, and I'm staying for change, and I'm feeling kind of naughty. I'm glad to say that nothing has changed.
Yeah, one of the first songs to rhyme change with change, and, you know, the imprint that that's left on music and the confidence that gave your Marshall Mathers to start rhyming,
it all connects back.
Words with the same word in different tenses. Beyond even just grammatically the sort of what it represents, I think the sentiment is you've been to a party before, presumably.
Oh yeah, in theory.
Yeah. But you've done it though, right? You've done it. You've been to a party.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I get
it. Describe it. Describe it.
Oh, you're just like, there's girls wearing prom dresses, and like, there's punch. That's a lot of it. And then everybody starts dancing the same dance. And
Tommy, are you describing prom?
I may be describing a dance, a prom from the movie She's All That, but right about now to fuck your brother.
You know, a party, and Usher's the DJ, and he reminds you of all the synchronized moves. A party.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been to one of those. Of course, who hasn't?
I just think it's, I'm staying for a party, I'm staying for change, and I'm feeling kind of naughty. I love the way he says naughty. He says it like he almost introduces an onomatopoeic feel to the word naughty, because the way he says naughty is naughty.
Yes. It is naughty. It'd be weird if he was like, I'm feeling kind of naughty, like as if he just threw it away. That wouldn't feel good. This, like, you're like, oh, he is feeling kind of naughty. I'm in it.
Who knows what sort of mischief he's going to cause. And in that naughtiness, you can see that he's recaptured the folly of youth, and the joys of youth, and that, you know, nothing has changed. And, you know, embracing these parts of ourselves lets us live out our most free and expressive life, which is what this song is about. It's about opening yourself up and you know, letting life be as good as it gets.
Damn.
I fucking love it.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's so meaningful to me.
Yeah.
I'll be right back. Tommy, do you want to play the next song? Do you have your phone?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's like what's so great about the Feelers is kind of anyone can play the songs.
I'll be right back. I can play it if not.
Like, you know, the Wu-Tang Clan had that album that like only Martin Shkreli could play for some reason, but this is like available.
It's on, I think, most major streaming platforms. They got some of the original videos up on YouTube. And if you're in New Zealand and, you know, we get out of this lockdown in time for the summer, you'll be able to see them on their annual Vineyard tour, playing a lot of the hits live. Yeah.
That is amazing, because I was kind of trying to do like a sideways for New Zealand.
So I would love it if you and Paul Giamatti could come down here and film some sort of behind the scenes documentary about the Feelers summer tour 2021-22.
And thank you for assuming that I would be Thomas Hayden Church and not Paul Giamatti in this scenario.
It's so obvious to me who you would be.
Well, you know what's not obvious? Which song you want to hear next?
I think we've sort of, you know, as I've said, we've covered three of the sides of the band. And there's, I don't know, I'd say we've got the acoustic, we've got the feel good, we've got the hard rock. And then there's a song that they have which sort of represents the collision point between these three prongs that they have.
Kind of the fulcrum.
Yeah. And it's a song that is doing a lot more than, you know, most. And I actually probably can't do it justice. It's probably easier to talk about after having heard it again. Mm-hmm. But this is The Feelers with Venus.
Ooh, yeah, let's hear Venus.
Soon give up yourself and dive into the moon. And I don't mind being with you knowing I'm by myself. There's a river in all of us that's dry. As you are in me, there's a river in all of us.
Do you think that's true?
I don't know that in sync. I don't know that everyone's internal river is dry at exactly the same time, but I think everyone's internal river does experience a drought.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, this song is a song that builds, so I just want to play a little of the end just so you guys kind of feel that.
Yeah, we got to hear that.
Come my little baby.
Damn. See, that's what's so cool about that song, which I'm hearing for the first time, is you don't know, like at the beginning, you're like, is this the kind of song where you wave a lighter in the crowd? And by the end, you're like, I guess I'm going to start the mosh pit.
You know? Yeah, it is. And it can be disorienting for people who haven't heard songs like that before. It is, by the end of it, it is a sort of kick down the door and let your hair down party anthem.
Yeah, actually, that's what was just why I had to step away from the mic. I knew that song was coming up, and I didn't want to kick down a door. I'm in my future in-law's home. I don't want to destroy property here, and I knew that that was on the table if I heard it again.
You want to keep it respectful. Mm-hmm. It's an incredible song, and I remember because that came out when I was in school, and some of the the denser kids, some of the kids with a more base sense of humor would think it was very funny to change the word, because he does keep saying, come my little Venus,
yes.
my Venus. And these sort of, it's low hanging fruit kind of stuff, but they would change out the lyrics to something that I can't imagine
what it could be.
I don't want to dignify it by saying it, but it used to really get my goat. And it's nice to finally see the song getting the sort of the treatment it deserves and the respect it deserves. And if you're listening to this, if you're listening to this, Ben Williams, and if you're listening to this, Andrew Maxwell, why don't you fucking pull your socks up and show some respect for musicianship?
I do really quickly, I'm getting ahead of us a little bit because we of course go to the Peanut Gallery, the listeners of this show, to comment on the band that we're going to talk about. And I post on the Patreon, which you can get on for $3 a month, and then your comments will be guaranteed to be read. Susanna De Arma, Susanna De Anda says, well, come my little penis, finally putting some respect on the Feelers name. And Susanna, we don't really do that around here.
Yeah. Susanna, it's called growing up. And I'm pretty sure you were meant to do it 10 freaking years ago.
Oh man!
Fair enough.
We should race through these last two, though, because people probably have thoughts about this band.
Yeah, I think
these
tons.
When we do these appreciation episodes, people are just like giving stories, like how much the band means to them. And so we got to be ready for that.
Okay.
And also, so, and I don't know how this is possible, but we're already at 55 minutes.
Well, we could just, why don't we trim it to one? I think there's one song, which is it's the only song that can really put a pin in the Feelers experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, it's the title track from the 2001 album, which was a political album in response to the horrific events of 9/11.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the aptly titled Communicate.
All right. Here is Communicate. That's Communicate. Oh shit! Almost played it twice. That's how much I loved it.
Wouldn't be anything wrong with that. obviously, another incredible song. And they used to. I mean, one of the things, I guess, you know, being in a band like this and touring as frequently as they do, one of the challenges is how do you stack your set list? Like, when every single song would fit perfectly into an encore, when every single song is the exact song that the fans are baying for you to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still don't know the answer. Is that better suited to open a gig, to close a gig, to play as the encore, to, like, you know, to re-peak the energy in the middle of a set? It's just, it's a beautiful sound.
So beautiful. I love it. When he says, these other worlds are uncharted, I felt that.
Well, I think I'll tell you who else felt that is Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland. I believe that lyric is the inspiration for the animated show Rick and Morty. It was sort of introducing the other idea of other worlds that have as yet been unexplored, stories that as yet have not been told. There's a school of thought that both Rick and Morty represent the two stages of James Reed. One as the nervous teen staying up late in bed, wondering if the girl he likes him back and observing his feelings. And the other is the jaded sort of genius, musician.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to go to that school of thought. Enroll me, because that's the one that I'm in. I hope I get in.
Wow.
I heard it's a tough one to get into, but I
it's a real tough one to get into, but I think you could probably do it. Maybe your progeny. I think you're a little old.
if I can't get in, I can only hope that my many children will be able to, because
your countless children, yeah.
Mhm. Mhm. All right, we are going to skip this last song, but just know that it was Astronaut if you want to listen on your own time, and it's another banger. I mean,
as good as any of the others.
It's so fucking good. And we have one more segment to get to. We teased it already. We go to the Peanut Gallery now. And as we often do, we're going to go to the Patreon first. If you're on the Patreon, you're guaranteed to have your thoughts read, and it's only $3 a month, and you get bonus episodes. Justin Kurth says, I've been dreaming of this moment. all right. Timothy Hooper's... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I just want to say, it's nice when the stuff that you love gets acknowledged. I agree.
Timothy Hooper says, I feel like the entirety of Lorde's career is just a cheap ripoff of what the Feelers have already done.
Well, it's a bit of a sore spot, that conversation in New Zealand, especially because obviously Lorde's first few albums, they were sort of the more not grungy musically, but in terms of tone, they were more evocative and emotive. And then, you know, it's like she's done the inverse feelers. She's gone full pivot to that sort of more summery acoustic sound. And it's like, I can trace all of the songs on all of these albums back to Feelers songs. And what, you don't expect people to notice? Like, you don't think that music fans have lived through both of this, you know, both of these sounds? It's ridiculous.
It's disgusting. And what a distrust of her own audience to not think that they would do the homework. James Buntrock says, haven't heard of them before, but listened to a playlist of them for a half hour and found them very pleasant. I would group them in with bands like the Verve Pipe, Dishwalla, and Gin Blossoms. So
the Verve Pipe's a great comparison.
Yeah.
Yep. They've got that same sort of beautiful, evocative voice and that same deft and light touch with a pen and paper.
Well,
beautifully said.
Said.
Nick Clerkin says, about time, Feeler Mania is sweeping Piss Nation. And then, and then he said, thanks for finally thinking of the fans. Oh, Jesus, Nick. We try to think about the fans. Yeah. Dalton Luttrell says, the real appreciation is all your dedication to the Feelers. I know you're fishing for Lisa, but you caught a compliment instead.
Well, you know, we're fishing... And that sentence actually gave me a whole new way of thinking about fishing for Lisa. Are you fishing for Lisa in the water, or are you going to fish to bring something back to Lisa?
Oh, I mean, my God.
There's
a whole other layer of complexity to the song that I haven't even considered. I mean, you've
everything.
Yeah, you've carved out a pretty solid afternoon's work for me there.
Oh, man, this song has so many layers. At least two. did anybody get on that Twitter?
Yeah, we had two people. I might have posted it too late because only two people chimed in. Or maybe it's the time zone thing. But yeah, we only got two. One of them was Yami Sagan said, one of the first albums I owned, some bangers, some I don't love, solid band. What do you think of that?
It smacks of someone who probably listened to the album twice. If you don't like all of them, then you don't like the band, in my opinion. But I'm ride or die, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's why we do these appreciation episodes, to like bring out the hardcore fans. Yeah. And then the other comment, I don't know if this is like a common name in New Zealand, but it was Guy Montgomery is the name. And it just says, I love them. So
yeah, maybe... that was me. I didn't realize I was going to be on the episode. So I just wanted to have my voice heard.
What a pleasant surprise that must have been for you.
I was stoked. Yeah, yeah.
All right. We only got one that was like relative to the band on Facebook, which is Joseph Kincaid said, don't give me hope for another Guy Montgomery episode. Don't play with my feelers. beautiful. That was the peanut gallery that we heard from.
I would so love it if you did a Feelers episode with literally anyone else. It'd be the most confused episode of your podcast.
Still the same playlist.
Yeah. It's Gilbert Gottfried for some reason.
This song really gets me going.
I knew you had it in your pocket.
Well, I appreciate that Tommy did get your note. Please set me up for my Gilbert Godfrey impression.
It's the one new hobby I've picked up in these 44 days of lockdown. Is an on the money Godfrey.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. But before we fully wrap up, you get to give your final thoughts on the Feelers here, Guy. What do you got for us?
And we could have you back, by the way, so don't think of this as like maybe they merit two episodes. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I don't necessarily think of this as a goodbye so much as a see you soon. I feel like we've honored them fairly comprehensively through the episode. I just think, you know, when I think of the Feelers, I think of, honestly, in my mind's eye, what I see right now is a montage of the best moments of my life. And I know that that's not representative of everyone's life, but you know, like that's what the band means to me. Is I think of them, and I see the I see every moment I've had. I you know, they're a band for all seasons. And you can't have the highs without the lows, and they've got songs that accompany the lows as well. It's they're incredible. And it's I'm just flattered that you asked me on to you know, to hopefully introduce a few new people to them and give them the glow up they deserve.
Just beautifully put, and what a great, great addition to this podcast. I'm glad we finally got to talk about them. And I feel like people are either gonna fucking hate this episode or or they'll think it was all right. No. I think some people are going to be very happy that we did this, and then others will be very confused, and then others,
yeah,
will you know.
I look forward to the response. I might have to pay $3 to get on that Patreon and check out what the Peanut Gallery has to say.
Well, guy, thanks so much for coming on. This was such a good time. It's always great to see you. Oh, sorry
you too.
Lockdown, but it's okay. Is there anything you want to promote from lockdown?
The thing that I would encourage the most people to see is I was on this. Have you guys seen? It's originally a British panel show called Taskmaster. Have you seen this show?
I've heard about this. Yeah.
Well, there's a New Zealand version of it called Taskmaster. Get this, NZ. The get this was mine, not the show's. Mm-hmm. And I was on the second season of it, and it was truly, aside from appearing on Stand By Your Band, the greatest working experience I've had in my life. It was so much fun, and I'm so proud and happy with how the show came out. And I believe it should be on YouTube. If you look up Taskmaster NZ S2, you should be able to track down the episodes. Or if you're good at navigating VPNs, you could get it on the TVNZ on demand website. But I would encourage everyone to watch that if you feel like it. Otherwise, just, you know, don't take recommendations from people you don't care about, and listen and watch the things that you like, because, you know, there's enough of it.
Beautiful. Tommy and I will be at the Comedy Attic.
Yeah.
I think it was November 5th and 6th, is that what I said? And I have a little something cooking in a couple weeks that I can't say just yet.
But, very exciting.
That'll be fun. And then I'm going to be doing a long set at the Comedy Cellars Fat Black Room, Fat Black Pussycat. I think sometime in late October, early November. If you live in New York, I'd love if you came out, because it's just going to be me doing a long set and maybe a couple friends. So come do that. And Tommy, what you got?
October 8th, I'll be opening for Patton Oswalt at the King's Theater in Brooklyn. That's the next big thing. So come to that if you are in New York.
Hell yeah. Fuck, it's all going on for you guys. I'm telling people to watch YouTube.
All right. Thanks again, guy. We love you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Get on the Patreon. Keep it crispy. Bye.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price, and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.